message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Please, welcome someone next to you with a handshake. Say you're welcome to church. So good to see you. With a good smile on your face. So good to see you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Joy Zawoa, so good to see you. Man, thank you. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let us pray. Bow your heads. Let's pray. It's always good to pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, now again our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness and we declare that we are doers of your word and we are blessed indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Thought I would hear a bigger amen.
Amen.
Say this after me. The word of God is working for me. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Philippians 1. Philippians 1. And verse 25, a popular scripture you should know if you've been here around for some time now. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. And this is one of the reasons why in this church we do a cyclic curriculum kind of teaching. And I'll tell you what inspired that. Like Paul here, being a pastor, he has a goal. He's saying, listen, my relationship with you, the reason why I want to abide with you, the reason why I am here with you today is for your furtherance and joy of faith. Furtherance from the Greek word prokope is what we call spiritual growth. So God wants you to grow spiritually. And he also wants your joy life to increase. And Apostle Paul says, the way I will do this is through teaching. So the yardstick for measuring spiritual growth is knowledge. Not just head knowledge, but knowledge that has filtered into your conduct. So since I am expecting a spiritual growth and the yardstick will be knowledge, then the responsibility is laid on me as your pastor to study and feed you with what I study. So that your joy life also will increase. How will your joy life increase? Very simple. Your joy life is not going to increase just because your bank account increased. Mm-mm. Of course, your bank account should increase. But that is not the source of your joy. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 3 to 4, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? He says, the devil has blinded their eyes so they can't see the glory and the beauty in the gospel. So, for the unbeliever, he can't see glory, he can't see beauty in this good news that we are sharing. But as for you, each time we preach the gospel, when you hear the gospel, you are rejoiced, you are rejuvenated. Why? Because you are made to see the surpassing delight of Christ above all else. And that makes your joy life stable in Christ, not dwindling. So one of the things I am doing in this church by the grace of God and through the instrumentation of God's word is to help you hijack your source of joy from natural things. Because natural things are subject to change. They can be affected by time. They can be affected by space, government policies. A billionaire can become a millionaire the next day. One single government policy. I mean, if you are conversant with the economy, you can know what I'm saying. Right now, Nigerian naira is going down. The whole world is complaining because of what? Coronavirus. People who can't travel from Europe to America, they can't make exchange. Do you understand what I'm saying? One event can affect people's wealth. And that's why you see people who, when they lose their money or they lose their investment, they go kill themselves. Why? The source of their satisfaction was on that money. So Jeremiah 2:13, it says, my people have committed to evil. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they have gone to hew for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. Now, Jeremiah is talking metaphorically here. You know, being the mouthpiece of God. God is saying, listen, I am your source of satisfaction. Do not look into any other places for satisfaction. He says, because every other place you look onto He says they are broken system. C-I-S-T-E-R-N. They are broken system. He says they can't hold water. So, when you hear the gospel, it will inspire in you joy. Because it tells you, it gives you information of the things that nobody can do for you. So, the gospel doesn't create in you a sense of unworthiness. The gospel doesn't make you see the things you lack in the natural. Rather, the gospel makes you see what Christ has done for you. Things you couldn't accomplish for yourself. And that means your joy life remains stable. Can I have a big amen to that? And you see, today we are concluding a series we began last week. It is also a major pointer to spiritual growth. And, you know, last week I was sharing with you three things, right, that I call the vital signs of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is from the word philio and adephos. Adephos means brother. Philia means love. So we're talking about love that exists between brethren. And I shared three powerful things with you that I said they were vital points to spiritual growth. In specific now, Philadelphia. And I share with you, I said, of all of them that really touched me the most is that when you begin to consider the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you above your blood relationship. Now, that sounds very strong, but that has to come to you from revelation. Do you know why? I showed you last week. I said, what is between you and the person sitting next to you cost Jesus Christ his life. In the book of Matthew, I said in the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, Jesus was asking, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Alright, some say thou art Jeremiah, some say thou art Elijah, or one of the prophets. Then he says, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Then Peter says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus replied, he says, listen, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He now says, from today, you are no longer Barjona, which means son of John, Simon the Reed, but you are now Petros, rock. He now says, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the word hell is Hades, and Hades means grave. So, Jesus was saying, listen, the gate of grave will not prevail against me. So, Jesus was talking about his resurrection. So, that is not a prayer point. Jesus fulfilled that scripture on the third day when he rose from the dead. The gate of Hades did not prevail against him. Now, this is the interesting thought that you need to get from that scripture. Jesus died, but when he was rising up, he rose up as the church. He's talking about himself that the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. Meanwhile, he was the only one that went to death, that was buried. So that means when he died and he rose up as the church. That's the figurative expression he meant in the book of John 12 and verse 24. He says, a corn of wheat, except it dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, it will bring forth harvest of many souls. So he's talking about himself. He said, I am the only corn of wheat. I remain the only Son of God. But when I die, I will bring forth harvest of many sons. So that means we have the same origin with Jesus. We are brethren with Jesus. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 2. In verse 9, he says, he tasted death for all of us. And he is not ashamed, verse 11, to call us brethren. Brethren means from the same womb. Our therefore, it means from the same womb. So what is the womb there? The grave. So you, as Christians, we all came from the grave. Romans 6, 3 to 4. The Bible says that when Jesus died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he was raised up, we were raised up together with him in the newness of life. The same thing, Colossians 2, 12 to 13. So what binds us together is stronger than blood. So the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is stronger than the one between you and your blood, except and only if your blood too is saved. Do you understand this revelation? Did you get it? Let me explain. What binds us together as Christians cost Christ his life. He says, except he dies, it abides alone. So until Jesus died, there was no Christianity. But when he died, his death was what brought us together. So this is stronger than blood. So now this revelation will help me to comport my relationship with people in the Christendom in such a way that I wouldn't let anything whatsoever to come in between them and I. These were the things I shared with you last week. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Such a hard saying, right? Because most people are like, really? Huh? My own blood? That's why your first approach, all right, to even working in extreme love for your blood should first of all be on the basis of the fact that they are saved. If you have a saved brother, your blood brother will be saved. The platform for relating with them should start with the fact that they are saved, because the relationship you have as Christian is stronger than blood. Praise the Lord. It looks so hard for some people to chew. And I gave you examples last Sunday, how Jesus showed this truth to us. Jesus was preaching, and then they said, listen, your father, your mother, and your brothers are looking for you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, listen, who are my brothers? Who are my fathers? Who are my mothers? Who are my sisters? But these ones that sit down here and hear me. So Jesus makes us see that spiritual relationship surpasses natural relationship. At the time, there was a time he was teaching, a woman stood up among the congregation and says, God go bless the mama who born you. In fact, bless is the breast where you suck. In Mark 3, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, yeah. Blessed be the mama who born me. He now says, but rather, more blessed are these ones who hear me. That means Jesus prioritizes spiritual relationship above natural relationship. Church is a gathering of people with supernatural relationship. What holds us together is stronger than life, natural life. Stronger than blood. What holds us together cost somebody's life. Who is that? Jesus. Very powerful. If you did not listen to last tape, I want to beg you, get it after service today, because what I'm going to share today is also going to be a flow from what I taught last week. So today, we're talking about Philadelphia, and we're going to conclude it today. Philadelphia means love that exists between brethren. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Good. This topic, if you are not careful, and you are not careful in how you assess messages, you might think, this is not one of the messages that I want to listen to. But I bet you, this is one of the most important messages you need to listen to in your life. In fact, I will advise you, get this tape, listen to it again and again. Now, let me tell you why. Something is important when you know how important it is to God. Am I correct? This message is important to God than any other thing you want to listen to. And one of the signs to show that you are growing up is when you learn to prioritize important things. And how do you know something is important? I just told you. When God takes it very importantly. I'm going to share with you simply just three reasons why you need to know this topic. This message that we're talking about, Philadelphia, the love that exists between brethren, why it is important. Very important. Now, like I said, you know something is important by how God rates it. Write this down. I just want to share with you just three reasons this topic is important, because you are likely going to start feeling irritated that a pastor preached something like this last Sunday. Let's talk something else. Let's talk faith. Yeah, I'll preach on faith. Let's talk power. We'll talk power. You see power here, don't you? Someone just gave a testimony of a person that was taken to India. I'm not being heard that testimony. Huh? You heard it right now, Abby. She just said the testimony of somebody taken to India. Doctor says the disease is incurable. Just the power of prayer of agreement here in Nigeria. And they are flown back healed. is the power of God. So we don't speak law of power of God. We don't speak law of the anointing. We don't speak law of faith. This is a faithful church. However, this topic is more important. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will open your eyes of understanding to see the seriousness in this topic. See, number one, write this down. Number one reason why this topic is important. I wrote here, I said, this topic is important. Number one, I said, every of our Christian devotion completely depends on it. Every of our Christian devotion completely, somebody say completely. Say it louder! Every of our Christian devotion completely depends on it. In other words, if you do not understand this message and you don't walk in the light of it, all of your Christian devotion is waste. Do you know what that means? That means you're coming to church, your prayer, your everything, your Christianity is a waste outside this message. How do you know something is important when every other thing depends on it? And like I said, spiritual growth will also place on you the responsibility to prioritize important things. What is important? I just showed you. When every other thing depends on that thing. And I'll show it to you quickly. Open to 1 Corinthians 13. A scripture you are aware or you know so well, but I'm going to give you the right Bible explanation to that scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Say this after me. I have understanding. Oh, you didn't say it like you mean it. Say, I have understanding. My mind is illuminated. I have understanding. 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read to you from the International Standard Version, ISV. In verse 1. Are you there? In verse 1 it says, if I speak in the language of humans and angels, but have no love, I have become a reverberating gong or a clashing cymbal. Did you get that? Brother Aske, come. It's okay. Did you hear how that thing sounded? Would you call that a sound or a noise? Apostle Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of angels. Now, by the way, this is a figure of speech. It doesn't mean, some people can pick revelation here now. Brothers and sisters, there's a tongue of angel. There's a level you get, you start speaking like, you go to go. Don't believe, that's rebel nonsense. Don't believe all those revelations. This is a figure of speech. And many of you here, if you are African, of course, African, you know, you understand this kind of figure of speech. I'm very careful now because we have international audience. Can I have a big amen? Now, in Africa, actually, this figure of speech is very used to us. Now, your mom can tell you, if you like, cry from now till next year. I will not give you that sweet. That is the kind of figure of speech that Paul is using here. He says, even if you speak in tongues of men, and you speak even the tongues of angels, and he says you have no love, he says you are like a clashing cymbal, a reverberating gong, noise. He says it is just noise. So that means whatever you do, your Christian devotion without love, the Bible says is nothing to God. It's just like a noise. Look at verse 2. This one gets me. Look at it. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all secrets and every form of knowledge, and I have absolute faith so as to move mountain, but have no love. Hey, prophecy, I can prophesy. Do you know what it means to understand all mysteries? Then it says, even if I have faith, I can move mountain. Hey, number one, you'll be very, very famous. Your name will be on Forbes. You don't get.
like you just moved, you got to Abuja, and then you saw that Zuma rock, and you say, Zuma, oh yeah, move. My children want to play here. Move! And the thing just moved. You will be so famous, it will be on the next news flash. Boom! Sister XYZ move Zuma to create space for children to play. Hey! CNN will carry it. Yet, Apostle Paul says, even if you could do so, if you do it outside love, he said, it is still nothing. That's why I'm praying that God will help you see the seriousness of this topic. So that means it is possible for somebody to be carrying out spiritual exercises the moment love is not your motive. The moment the reason why you do, and this is, let me tell you the summary of today's message. Why do you do the things you do? The very good things you do, why do you do it? If you can answer the question of why, and you can purify the reason behind why you do everything you do, welcome to Christianity. Why do you do the things you do? There's a lady opposite me, you know, opposite my house in Abuja, and there's this neighbor of mine. The lady always comes to me, you know, sees me as pastor and stuff like that. We get to talk and all that. This is my neighbor. He's usually high. All of a sudden, started getting close to me. Ah, pastor, this girl. I don't know. I want to let. Sometimes they come and meet me, pastor. Let's go and check on them. I don't know. Maybe she's not fine. I said, see, guy, the reason why you want to check them? Why? Wait. Look at number 3. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, even if I... Do you know why this number 3 is so powerful? It can slide your head. It can slide your consciousness if you are not careful. A lot of people do not really understand this one because it's very subtle and hidden. So listen carefully. Look at verse 3. Even if I give away everything that I have and sacrifice myself, but have no love, I gain nothing. This one weak me. Do you know why? For the first time, I realized that it is possible to give and not in love. So that means we've been taught that love gives. But so now Paul is telling us that it is possible to give and yet not in love. That means the moment love is not what motivated your giving, the Bible says it is nothing. And that's why you see somebody, a man, who fights his wife at home over a pot of soup. How much you say you cook the soup? It can cost us 5,000. Then we bought fish, we bought this thing, everything, 13,000. What? 13,000? And they fight over a pot of soup. And that same man, the same weekend, we attend, not even side chick, we attend a friend's father's burial, and you'll be spreading, oh Sunday, oh Wendy, oh Sunday, oh Wendy, oh Sunday, oh Sunday, oh Wendy, spend money there. You see parents who refuse to pay school fees. Now, the question is, now people will see him in that party that, guy, you won't lie, this man get money. So, why was he spending the money in the party? The motive was wrong. The motive was just to boost his ego. He left a responsibility at home. So giving sometimes too is not always, as long as it is not done in love, the Bible says it is nothing. Here you can see how powerful this topic is now. Then in verse 4, he began to tell us powerful things. He says, love is patient. Love is always kind. Love is never envious. Let me tell you one thing. I taught a message last year. I titled it Sententia. I will make it available. Please, you can see Brother Solomon. Listen to it. If you see any Christian that is envious of another Christian, that Christian is ignorant. Have you heard the story of Joseph? His brothers needed not to envy him. There was no point envying Joseph. Guess what? The Messiah did not come through Joseph. He came through one of the brothers that was planning to kill him. Judah! Jesus came from Judah, the elder brother. And yet, did Joseph think about it? It's easier to say, well, maybe God is partial, but no. I told you last year, I said, when God is showing so much mercy on one member of your family, and it looks as if sometimes you might even feel she's not even serving God, she's the bad guy or he's the bad egg in the house, yet God keep blessing him, you have to understand what God is doing. When God reaches out to one person, he has other people in mind. That's how God works. God works in pattern. So, who would you say evil enjoyed most? Joseph or his brothers? Imagine they had a rich dad. A very rich dad. So he buys this coat of many color for the last born. And they are envying him. This guy, they sold him. They almost killed him. They sold him. Listen, when they say they sold somebody to slavery, some of you don't understand the gravity. Because you are living in 2000, in the second millennium. In those days, if you are selling into slavery, you know what they do? They will remove all your clothes. And then the person that will buy you will check. Maybe you don't have any crocro, or you don't have, they will first check you. When they are selling you, you have to be naked for them to assess you. These are not game muscle. Can he carry weight? Can he carry load? That's the way they buy slaves those days. They bought the guy to slave. He got into, another person bought him in the palace. He got into trouble with his boss's wife again. That one too jailed him. Look at all the troubles this guy went through. A guy from a rich home. And at the very point when there will be great famine that will wipe the whole race away, he became the prime minister. And again, they've been enjoying their father's wealth. And at the time when money will start failing them, this guy was already positioned in a way to save them from dying. Do you get what I'm saying? So, question is, who has God favored most? The brothers. And to even top the point, among the brothers was the one through whom Jesus will come, the Savior of the world. Joseph's son, Jesus didn't come through Joseph. So, there was no point. There was no point envying him. Love does not envy. Is it because he has a nice voice? Me too, I have a fine voice. I can sing too. You see, there is no point. Do you know people do spiritual exercises out of love? Some people, the reason why they want to study the word of God is because I want to know more than pastor. You are just wasting your time. You're just wasting your time. You can even go to sports there and pray. You want to go and pray for 2 hours, but you saw a guy that is there. See, me, I have fallen into that sin before. When I was on campus, I would go and pray. I would say, okay, I want to pray for just 3 hours. But the day it disdained me, I saw a lady. She prayed all night. I said, a lady. I said, no, we could die here. I said, she must live here before me. So I was praying, Reko Talabas. I would look again. This guy has not gone. I'll pray again. I want to, who will go first? It's fruitless. The motive is wrong. Prayer is good, yes. But why the praying? Wrong. Listen, the why of what you do is as important to what of what you do. Let me come again. The why of what you do is as much as important as the what of what you are doing. Like I was sharing last month about marriage. The same thing. Why do you want to marry? Is marriage good? Yes. But why? Some want to marry to spite their parents. Some want to marry to show them, to pepper their friend. Pepper them. Why? Love is not envious. Look at it. Look at it. It says love is not envious. Or arrogant with pride. Nor is she conceited. And she's not rude. She never thinks just of herself. Or ever gets annoyed. She never is resentful. Verse 6. Is never glad with sin. She is always glad to side with truth. And pleased that truth will win. Verse 7. She bears up under everything. She believes the best in all. There is no limit to her hope, and never will she fall. Oh, verse 8 says, love never fails.
Now, listen to me, the next verse I want to read, because many people have quoted that scripture out of context. What is the subject of this chapter we are reading? Talk to me. Say it louder. Now, in verse 8, he now says, I've taught you in this church. That's why one of the things I can be braggadocio about in this church is, if you hang around for a long time in this church, it will bring sanity. There will be sanity in your Bible interpretation. I can be boastful of that. Look at verse 8. It says, Lord never fails. He now says, now, if there are prophecies, they shall be done away with. If there are languages or tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. Now, some people have picked the scripture and says, you see, the Bible says tongue will cease. The Bible says prophecy will end. Why some people are still prophesying? This is the reason why you have some people, they call themselves Sabbatarian. I don't want to call their names, Seventh-day Adventist or something. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. Some churches don't believe in praying in tongues. They say the Bible says it has been done away with. They pick that scripture out of context. But the context of this message is what? Come to talk to me. So you have to read that thing into this verse. What he's saying is, without love, prophecies is nothing. Are you following? So the subject of this passage is love. So what he's saying is, even if I prophesy, even if I speak in tongues, even if I have mystery, knowledge, outside the confines of love, what did he say? He says it is nothing. Look at verse 9. He says, for what we know is incomplete, and what we prophesy is incomplete. Now, some people have said some things like, well, we all know in parts. You know some parts, I know some parts, some parts. That's a mischievous interpretation. What he's saying is that what you know is in parts. That means it's incomplete. Without what? Without what? That means what he's simply saying here is, everything you do, your Christian devotion, is incomplete without love. And like I told you, one of the things that marks that you are growing spiritually is you have learned to prioritize important things. And what is important? What is important is anything God calls important. How important is this thing to God? And like I just showed you now, this thing is important to God so much that all your Christian devotion is nonsense without love. Look at verse 10 now, says, but when that is which is complete comes. Can you see now? He's talking about love. That means when you now begin to purify your motive behind why you do what you do, he says, then that which is incomplete will be what? Will be done away with. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that means, I don't know if you now can see how serious this topic is now. Very serious, very important. Can I be honest with you? In fact, that's why in this church we always say that we are people of what? Without and what? That is the summary of Christianity. Open to the book of 1 Timothy, let me show you. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 5. He says, now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Love and faith is the summary of Christianity. Love towards God. Love towards the brethren. I told you last week, I said one of the vital signs of Philadelphia is what? I said, your faith towards God will always produce what? Love towards the brethren. Check it. Ephesians 1 is there. Philippians is there. Colossians, that it was there. It's always there. Your vertical relationship will always produce horizontal relationship. That's why I told you last week, I said Christianity is not a personal race. You can't say, have you heard people say things like, I beg, forget all these pastors, all these, me, nothing concern me for church, oh. I know they even shake any, me, nothing concern me for church, my own, I just sit down, now me and God, God knows me and the servant. You are wrong, sir. You are wrong, ma. There's this Yoruba saying they used to say when I was growing up, Shadu and Shamini, Kosija and church, Emi Olonyo, Emi Rayoshi. Okay, well, I see church, you know, I just came to church, I just want to sit down, nothing, you know some people, they will be in church for 3 years, you will not know. They can't say hi. They don't relate to people. And can I be honest with you? And I don't mean this to spite you. Some of you, that's the reason why you are still single. What
are you always going to look for? And then he said, let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, pew, you are gone. And now you are in your 30s. You are now praying, doing video up and down. There's a guy that has come to church. Open that. I like this baby. I love her devotion. The Philadelphia is so strong. You know, the Philadelphia, I said, is what? You know, that inward solidarity you have towards somebody because of what? Their devotion. That guy has been looking at the way you pray fervently. He said, I love to pray. And then he's just waiting so that you will take pictures and then you, of course, some bad dudes. You know, that's what I'm saying. But you, after they just say, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are ready, you are doing on your mark. Get set, go, you are gone. Abba, and some of you, some ladies, you used to intimidate us. You always like to walk in six. So, the one that he like is among them. But the guy now, all you should have done draw. Please, can you give me a number? Why do you want, and some of you friends, you need to be careful some friends you have. Why do you want a number? What's your business? Is it concern you? Praise the Lord. Somebody say love and faith. That's the summary of Christianity. Number 2 points. Oh, this one is so powerful. So powerful. I wrote there, I said, number 2 reason why this topic is important, Philadelphia. God takes every action carried out towards the brethren as an action carried towards him. Hey, this is deep. How many of you here would like if God shows up here now? You would like to give him everything you have, right? You would like to bless him, you would like to shake him. Am I correct? I mean, if God should just come out now, boom, and he shows up here. Yet, the Bible shows us this number 2 point is powerful. Now, if you've been following this ministry for long, you won't have issues with this particular point, because one of the things we emphasize in this church is Pauline's theology of identification. For example, now, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all you will see is a soloist Jesus that was nailed on the cross, that worked miracles, that did all those things. But when you begin to read the writings of Paul, Apostle Paul now introduces to us that actually when Jesus was there on the cross, he was not alone. We were there on the cross with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he was raised up, we were raised up together with him. Can you shout him in, somebody? This is the theology of identification. So you read 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you read John chapter number 15 and verse 3. He says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And if you are a science student, that should shake your mind. Jesus is talking there figuratively. He says, I am the vine. Vine means stem. And ye are the branches. In other words, the same sap that flows in the parenchyma cells of the stem also flows in the parenchyma cells of the branches. The xylem, the parenchyma, colenchyma, what? I'm not speaking in tongues. These are actually biological students. You understand what I'm saying, right? The same sap that flows in that stem flows, in fact, in plant science. Let me be sorry, say with you. In plant science, from knowledge of plant science, you know, I did some phytobiology. Let me explain to you. Some of you have done this when you were small. You go and pick fruits that fell down. Then one place is diseased. You now cut the diseased away. You cut. Then you eat the good part. You are deceiving yourself. As long as there's one issue with one part, all the other part has been affected. So that means, do you know why? Because that fluid, that sap, that I'm using a layman language now, the sap, the moment it is diseased, if you see any part of a tree diseased, that means all of the part is diseased. Why? Because the same sap flows all through. So when he says, I am the vine at the branches, what he's saying is, listen, we are inseparable. We are in organic oneness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's why Paul told the church in Corinth. He says, listen, he's the head, we are the body. He uses that metaphor to explain our unity, our union with Christ. We are inseparable. We are one with him. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. So that means if that is true, then you won't have issue with the second point. I said God takes every action carried out towards brethren as an action carried towards him. I'm sure you know this story about the young man. This guy is very, you know, he was so zealous for his Jewish religion so much that he wasn't a soldier, but he went to get a legal right to slaughter any Christian. He was so fervent in his Judaism. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee, breathing out threatening. Then he was about to enter this city called Damascus. And as he entered Damascus with his letter of approval to kill any Christian, in fact, he was instrumental in the killing of one of the elected deacons by the name Stephen. He was the one that was saying, men are killing, men are pulling a shirt. It was the anger that people were putting their clothes on. He was gingering them. The guy was zealous for the Judaism religion. And on his way to enter Damascus, a light shines from heaven and he fell to the ground that way. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then he replied, who are you, Lord? Then he says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He didn't say, why are you persecuting the Christians? Come on. This was Jesus in his glorified form. He has gone to heaven already. And yet, Jesus still has the mindset of our union with him. Up till now. Up till now. No wonder. No wonder. No wonder. We share in the authority. Shout amen, somebody. This is the doctrine of identification. So, God sees every action. So what Saul was doing to Christians, he was doing it to whom? To Christ. Oh, if that is truth, then that means my horizontal relationship actually is the reflection of my vertical relationship. You can never, you know what these people will normally do? Let us press into God. Press, press. And they keep malice. They fight. They cause trouble everywhere. They are malians. You are deceiving yourself. Because listen, how you treat the brother in Christ is how God sees that you are treating him. Forget all your devotion. We just read it now. So a Christian can be saying, nothing concerning with brethren in church. We are trying to encourage brotherly love. You see a brother wearing one shoe for 3 months. And you have a lot of shoes. You know, I visited a lady not long ago. And I have to ask her, do you have a boutique? Is it boutique? Sometime last year, I had just 4 shoes. One is a jogger. And the 3 rest of them were Italian shoes. The list of those shoes is 30K. And I came to church. I saw 2 of our brethren I love so much. They are fervent in the spirit. And I said, one of the shoes is like this. I went back. Call them, pack the 2 shoes and give it out. Left it only one. I mean, how dwells the love of God in you? And you know, there's a way you can grow. You know, I'm sharing this with you because I know your future is great. You can be in a car. You know, you are driving your dream car like me. But no longer, I don't have a dream car anymore. Those are the Mercedes. If it's no Mercedes, it's no car. But I'm changed now. Even if it's pick up, I lift up my hands. What do you say? No. What about Tundra? Tundra is a pick up now. Toyota Tundra. That we'll be doing crusade with it. Amen. All right. Can be in your car driving. Then all these boys are carrying plates. Even if you don't have money, your mind should tell you. You should be making decision. I will take as many of you out of the streets. You should be taking that confession. I will take many of you out of the streets. When I first came to Kefi, I was crying. Do you know what? I have about 39 of them. I have to visit their parents that I want to start a class for them. I went to get all their NPC, Nigerian Population Commission, National Population Commission Identity Card. I got all of them, all those children. They know me on the street. All of them, I packed them. Do you know one day I cried? When I was still in Kefi, there was this lady less than 9 or 10. She came to take water. She used to come and fetch water. So I noticed they normally fetch water in our compound. I was disdained. I felt your mates are in school. Say, Bamazwa Makaranta. Okay. Went to fetch water for people. And now called her. She now came to me and said, so I went in, packed all the things I could pack, gave her money. 9, 10 years. So she was stepping out, so she came back again. I said, what next again? She said, Na Sonka. I said, she came in, she said, she spoke English. I won't make you be my boyfriend. Do you know what I did? I went on my knees and I cried. Do you know what that means? That means there are guys that have been doing it with them. 9 years old. You should be crying and says, I'll get as many of you out of the streets. One of our ministers, she's serving, she just finished serving, she's not around. I was talking with her 2 days ago. She has this NGO, she reaches out to this motherless baby home, she reaches out to all these orphans. Be concerned. Do you know you did nothing to be born into a rich family? Did you do anything? You were just privileged. And especially in Abuja, everybody wants to show who they are. Do you know one of the languages that if it is erased, there won't be some hold up in Abuja? Come on, crash. Just say, I am sorry. Or somebody eats your, side mirror. Just say, I am sorry before you know. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? That's how hold up we start. Nobody is patient for one another. See, why we are talking about this thing is because these are really what it means to the world to be a Christian. I've taught you when we're talking about the doctrine and the practice of holiness, right? Follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall... The world will not see the Lord if you don't walk in holiness. If you don't walk in peace with people. Yes, you have a relationship with God, but listen, God sees how you treat others. In Hebrews 13 verse 2, it talks about, strangers. Philonexia. That's the Greek word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Say after me, God sees every action done to brethren as actions done to him. Is that clear enough? That means how you treat your brother is exactly how God feels you are treating him. And you can see that Jesus taught this even in his parable. Open the book of Matthew 25 quickly. Let me show you something. Jesus says the same thing. What I just shared with you is exactly what Jesus was saying in Matthew 25 from verse 31 to 40. And I'll read to you from verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now he is talking about the second advent of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Can I be honest with you? We will all face judgment. Do you know? But it is not thronos. Come on now. It is bema. See, that's why you have to do foundation school. I won't talk about that. Come and do foundation school. There is thronos, the white throne judgment. A Christian will not face the white throne judgment. Why? Because he has been judged in Christ. But there is what we call the bema seat of Christ. When Christ will judge us based on what we did for the sake of love and faith. The things we do for the kingdom will be awarded. See, we will not be made in heaven. Salvation is free and there is no reward for salvation. But there is reward for good works. Look at it. In verse 32. Now he's talking about the second advent of Jesus. Then he says, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Somebody say all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. So now he has separated the sheep from the goats. Now in verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left.
Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right. Who are those on the right? The sheep, right? That means the saved ones, right? 34. Then the king shall say unto them on the right hand, come ye, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35. For I was hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Verse 37. Can we all read verse 37 together? 37. 3, 2, go. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? These were righteous people. Did you see that? Christians will be amazed and say, ah, Master, when were you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you water to drink? Look at what Jesus now says in verse 38. Oh. They were still talking in verse 38. It says, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? These are righteous people. They are surprised. Then verse 14. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Someone say brethren. Brethren. Say it louder. Brethren. Ye have done it unto me. That means every action carried out towards the brethren is an action carried towards God. Why? The mystery of identification. So when I see a Christian, I treat that Christian like God. Because whatever I do to that Christian, especially in a local assembly, whatever I do, I know I am. See, that must, let this be your mindset. Are you hearing me? You see a brother or a sister that used to be fervent in God, but notice, you just notice all of a sudden that when it's time for prayer, he's not as fervent as usual. What will it cost you after service? You just walk up to them and say, what's happening today? You're not really too... People are going through stuffs. And if it's just all about you, you're just all about yourself, me, mine, you, and the idea is you get all you can, and you can all you get, and sit on it. No, that's not Christianity. Can I be honest with you? I used to tell people, if you can make a good Christian and you understand this message very well, you will make a good husband. You will make a good wife. Because ask a man, an African man, to describe what he wants in a woman. And by the time he's done with his description, what you will hear is a slave. I want her to wash my clothes. And see, listen to me. If you can deal with your sister or brother in the Lord with so much Philadelphia, you will make a good husband, you will make a good wife. Can I be honest with you? What you need is not really marriage seminar. What you need is word seminar. If you are grounded in the world and you can treat brethren as Bible instruct, you will live a happy life with people. Because number one issue of quarrels, I showed you, is what? Selfishness. People are selfish. Me, mine, I. I give you another reading. Open to Matthew 20 quickly. You know, a lot of people, you know, they think, well, it's just me, it's just mine, I have no issue. And you know, what I want to read to you right now will revolutionize your idea about leadership in the kingdom. It will revolutionize your idea. Look at this. I'm running out of time. I'm out of time already. Matthew 20 and verse 25, it says, but Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Is that true? Talk to me. Is that true? Yeah. That's how they do in the world. He says, you know that the prince of the world, of the Gentiles, that means unbelievers, they exercise authority over their subjects. That's how they do in the world, in corporate organizations, in government parastatals, in the world. That's how they do. People show their power by exercising their fetal power on their subjects. Verse 26 now says, but it shall not be so among you.
Can you see that? Jesus is teaching on leadership. He says, he shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister, your servant. In other words, the way you measure leadership in the kingdom is servanthood. So it is not how much is serving you that proves how a leader you are, but how much you are serving. Or how many you are serving, rather. Look at verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. You know, chief. You know, chief. In fact, in some parts in this country, if you call somebody a chief, you can be angry with them and say, I'm not chief, I'm high chief. Don't call me chief, I'm high chief. But the Bible says, anyone that will be chief among you, let him be what? Servant. That's greatness in the kingdom. You serve the brethren. Listen, when you came into Christ, you became servant of men, prisoner of Christ, followers of God, and master of the devil. The only master you are when you came into Christ is over devil. You don't exercise dominion over brethren. You serve brethren. You serve the cause of the kingdom. And you do this in service, in your finances, in your prayer. You pray for the advancement of the church. That's when you are truly living a Christian life. This all is designed for you. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. Created into in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. Which God has what? Before ordained that we should walk in them. This is God's preordination for you. Look at verse 28. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom. What a service he did. And that's why I tell you, when I was interpreting to you last year during 3 days of glory, washing of feet, I explained that mystery to you, right? What is the mystery in the washing of feet? Very simple. Jesus, you know, his people were tired, they were coming from dirty place, and he took a bowl of water, and the Bible says he tied his girdle, and he got one of his clothes, towel, and then he began to wash his disciples' feet. Then Peter got emotional and said, no, master, you are too big, you can't wash my feet. No, far be that you wash my feet. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. That you have no part in me, identification, right? That is figurative of what? Salvation. Then Peter said, you know, funny Peter now. Peter says, eh? No part in you. In fact, wash my head, wash my leg, wash, bat me. What was Jesus saying? You know, Jesus will have to stoop low to wash their feet. What Jesus is saying is, listen, the only way for you to be saved and be part of me is for me to serve you. And what was that service? He died. This is the mystery of salvation. That the way to greatness is service. In fact, the way to greatness is not service. Greatness is service, not a way. Service is not a way to greatness. Service is greatness. Can I be honest with you? Many of you, you've been colored in your mind about, you've seen so much on Nollywood. You think when we get to heaven, God will just sit down here on the throne. Say, oh, you boys are doing fine, right? Now, well done, eh? You are imagining somebody with big belly. But with white beards, right? Let me shock you now. Open to the book of Matthew. Look, let's look at the Luke account. You will see something that will amaze you. Look at Luke, open to Luke 12. I want you to see the mindset. This is our God. Look at Luke 12, quickly. Luke 12. And verse 32. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 33. Sell that which ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. I can preach 2 Sundays on that verse alone. In other words, the way you can convert, how many of you know that you can carry your money to heaven? Yes. Yes. Good. Should I share with you how you carry your money to heaven? Good. Listen, use that money to finance something of eternal value. When you get to heaven, it will count. That is it. That's what he's saying. He says, lay up your treasure where thief does not corrupt. That's what he's saying. He says, lay up a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, rather moth corrupt. That means you can preserve your wealth, and that wealth will follow you to heaven by using that wealth to finance things of eternal value. And what is that? Salvation of men and their establishment in the church, in the kingdom. Did you see the video of Daniel Kolenda? How they were appreciating Brad Kenneth Copeland. Those guys, Kenneth Copeland ministry, they gave millions of dollars. So today now you are celebrating Reda Bonke. Ha, that guy saved seven million souls. Brad Copeland's ministry, they give millions. And those money came from tithes and offerings of people. In fact, if you watch BBOV, Believers Voice of Victory, Brad Copeland used to use Friday alone to receive offering from partners. So while you are celebrating Reda Bonke, heaven is celebrating Brad Copeland. How much from Brad Copeland is celebrating who? His partners. That's supporting the righteous cause. There's a woman that said that Eb Benihin, I don't want to call her name, she gives $1 million from what I heard to every of his crusade. That is how to get those things and lay them up in heavens. But that's not the message for today. Look at the next verse, where I'm actually going. 34, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, see, money is a spiritual stethoscope. You can check where the heart of a man is. You can even do your own personal examination after this class. This is a class, right? The church. Do a personal examination. This month that passed, February, how much came into your hand? Let's say you had 50K came into your hand from parents, from friends. Now ask yourself, out of that 50K, how much did that spend on something of eternal value? It will amaze you. Some people, if they receive 100K, 80K will go to wardrobe. 10K will go to food. You know, ladies can even starve themselves to buy massacre, to buy. So you can actually personally, you can deduce for yourself where your heart is. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Now look at verse 35. He says, let your loins be gathered about and your light burning. 36. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return. Now he's talking about second advent now. When he come, he will return from the wedding. And when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now look at verse 37. This is the real point where I'm going. He says, blessed are those servants. Someone say servants. Whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall guard himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Wow. So the master will still serve us in heaven. Hallelujah. You don't get what he's saying. He says in the second advent, when we are gathered, he will make us to sit down like in a, he's giving a figurative expression of how we will be treated like in a wedding. And the master himself will serve us. Ah, what a servant king. This is your God, though. The one in whom you were created in his image and likeness. You can't act any different. Now, can you see how serious this topic is now? Come on, talk to me. Then this last point is very, very instructive. What was the number one point? Let's chorus it together. Every of our Christian devotion is what? Completely useless outside love. Then the next one I said what? God takes every action done to the brethren as action. Did I give you enough? Did I give you enough scriptures to prove that? Yes, is it clear enough? Yes, and it's number three. Why is this topic important? Philadelphia, brotherly love. To create in you this mindset of solidarity. Why? Number three. None of us can do anything worthwhile in isolation. None of us can do anything worthwhile in life in isolation. Even right from when you were born, someone had to carry you for 9 months. Someone had to bait you. Someone had to help you. Someone had to teach you. You had to go to school. Someone had to carry you. You can't be anything worthwhile in life alone. This is logical. This number three is even an apologia. I'm just being apologetic with this. It's very simple. You can't do anything worthwhile alone. Nothing. Have you heard people say, I'm a self-made millionaire? It's a lie. If people did not buy whatever you are offering, will the money come from heaven? Nobody. There is no high land anywhere. Everybody, alright, that is great to know today, they are products of imputes of several others. Open to Ecclesiastes 4. Let me read to you, then we close. This topic is so serious. God takes this serious. And you should too. I mean, if you say you want to build something strong, Jesus had 3 inner core disciples. He had 12. He had 70 elders. Then he even had about 600. And he had multitudes that were following him. Even Jesus, if Jesus couldn't achieve great alone, you can't do it alone too. That's why I began by telling you that Christianity is not a personal race. Don't be deceived. It's a corporate race. You should have a friend that can call you, a friend in church that can tell you, hello, sweetheart, have you prayed this morning? I have not prayed. Ah, you have to. You have to. I gave an example when I was teaching on boy-girl relationship, right? About a guy that almost slapped his wife. You remember? The wife got him angry and then he screamed like, I'll slap! And the girl was shocked, you know, she's Ajebona, you know. And then she was, and then she went into her room and shut her door and began to cry. Even my dad never did this to me. So he called the friends. They drove down to the compound in the night, went to the guy's room, dragged him out and beat him. His friends, they came with yogurt, of course. When they finished beating him, his mouth was swollen. They gave him yogurt to drink. They prayed together. Then they called his wife too. And then they prayed together. You need such friends. The ones that can... I'm sure he would never scream on the wife again. Praise the Lord! You need those friends that will tell you, guy, you don't pray this week. You don't do any 2 hours tongue this week. Or more classes day too much, then today disturb us. That friend will come and meet you in your room and say, you know, after class today, we dey go sport, go pray. The first time I pray in tongues 6 hours straight, it was friends. We went to Bafemna Lower University or a sports center. And there's a seat when you are tired. Lekoba, have you prayed and your jaw is paining you? Likoroma, nidimi ni mama mama, masonto robo. Sometimes you are even you crying. You think maybe you are being deep. Is it like you are really crying that you are tired? How many of you get the gist? Daddy, I was speaking something that looks like French. You want to sit down, and your friend will say, no. They will use their leg and put the chair away. No, you do like this on the wall. They'll push you away. You need such friends. I wonder when I see if all you do together is just you watch Telemundo together, you watch. How about praying together? How about doing spiritual stuff together? Look at what it says here, and that's why so many Christians they sleep in the Christian work and they hardly recover. And that's why Galatians 6, it says, ye that are spiritual, if anybody be overtaken in his sin, let he which are spiritual, should do what? To reconfigure that same person. A sister is falling into sin, maybe sexual sin in church, and then you discover that as a member, you got to know. What should you do? Reconfigure, not body shaming. He says in verse 6, verse 3, he says, bearing one another's burden, fulfilling the law of Christ. Galatians 6. That is the law of Christ. Look at it. I'm going to take your time today a little. This topic, because I don't want to do part three. Or should I do part three? Let's finish it. Let's finish it today. Ephesians 4 verse 9. I know my time is off, but just let's finish it. Ephesians 4 verse 9. He says, two are better than one. I know many people quote this for marriage alone. He says, two are better than one because they are what? They have a good reward for their labor. That means there will be a large output from their efforts. That's why the Bible says, for example, it says one shall chase what? 1,000. Two shall chase what? 10,000. Can you see the difference? One will chase 1,000. Two shall do what? Chase how many? They should chase 2,000 now. Since one will chase 1,000, then two should chase 2,000, right? But it says one will chase 1,000 and what? Two will do what? 10,000. That is the power of corporate work. Verse 10, it says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Look at what it now says. It says, but woe. Do you know the meaning of woe? Woe means cast. It says, woe to him that is alone. When he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. See, let me tell you this. The best of us. You know, I was sharing with someone recently. I put it on my status, you know, about an old friend of mine. She's married, but she had this business trip that brought her to Abuja. So she just called me, Elijah, I'm in town, and so on and so forth. Of course, the company she works with, they will pay for her hotel, everything. She came for on companies, you know, on the back of the company. That's how she came. Her flight, to her flow and everything. So we just went out, you know, went to Domino, you know, took Cold Stone. Went to Ox restaurants in Wuse. She's my friend. When we were in university, we used to hold our hands together, you know, go evangelism together. Now she's married because she's my good friend. Her husband too is my friend by extension, you know. And so I was now telling somebody who was commenting on my status. I said, listen, I said, number one thing is for those 2 days, you know, because I have to follow the staff of that company to go and help her look for a good hotel in Abuja and so on. I said, for those 2 days, for the first time, somebody did not call me pastor. And I don't know how it feels like somebody beat your neck. Oh! So, you know, that university thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I was like something very significant. And that even led to why I was discussing with another friend, a captain who was with me yesterday, with some of his old friends too, that they grew up together in this town. He's a captain in the army. So yesterday we went to Kakaki. You know, we're just talking with those his old friends too that came. And he was telling me when we were driving back that, listen, in life, there are just some friends that, because of what joined you together, even when you get married, that friendship is just dead. Do you get what I'm saying? He was telling me that because this captain I'm talking about is a captain in the army, but when they were in their church here in Kefi, don't want to mention the name of the church, he was the youth pastor of teenagers and all of that. He was telling me about one particular girl among these girls that were together yesterday, that those days, that girl, he says, pastor, anytime we are in the meeting, we are teaching, she would just burst into prophecy. So that was how they became friends then. So that Philadelphia is still there. That's inward solidarity. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's still there. It doesn't matter even if in the future, because there's a way life has a way of shuffling people. There is no envy. My spiritual father is coming by the grace of God in April. His own spiritual father, Bishop Francis Waluoke, is a bosom friend of Oyedepo. They both started ministry together. In fact, when they wanted to separate to go where God will lead them, they had a retreat together in the lorry. They are friends like this. But today, materially, Oyedepo is richer now. But there is no. You get what I'm saying? There's no envy. Verse 12 says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a tree cord is not quickly broken. So none of us can do anything worthwhile alone. None of us. Say, Amy, like the Yoruba guy will say, emi okan soso tin mi jo tin mi gbo biji biji biji.
You know what that means? That means I'm one tree in the forest that can shake everywhere. How long? It's not about the effect, it's about how long. Do you know this song? You pray for me, I pray for you, I need you to survive. I don't know that song. Can't do it alone. God has given us a mandate to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, but can I do it alone? At least, even if I can do everything in this church, there's one thing you all know I can't do. Be careful. I have many keys. If I start with G, I'll end with M. Is there a key called M? Ah, you see, I don't even know. Hallelujah. So we're going to do something today before we close. And I want you to never forget it. But I also like to teach it in context, because this is a practice in the early church. It is spelled K-I-S-S-I-N-G. What's that? Kissing, Abby. Now, don't start thinking in your mind, hey, thank God, Pastor. Because you're looking, correct, to go kiss today. No. But let me just read some scripture to you. Open to, in fact, you know, if you are conversant with this ministry, you've been following us, you know that we always place value on Bible interpretation, right? And when I was teaching you last year on how to study the Bible, hermeneutics, the science of Bible interpretation, I said one of the barriers to Bible interpretation is what? The principle of cultural context. Now, in the Asian world, kissing was a way they express pleasantry between people who love one another, people who something strong is binding them. So the way they greet each other is by kissing. And in fact, it turned out to be that sometimes that kissing is not really necessarily mouth to mouth. The Asian world, they do it in up to today. The way they do it is come, Minister Lisa, come. Let me show you how they do it. The way they do it is this, you know, they can just go, oh, how are you? Ah, oh, so good to see you. That's all. That's the way they do it. Or sometimes it can even be, come, bruh, because this one I want to do now. I can't do it. Can even be like this. You know, just kiss their hand. Thank you. That's the way they do it. But guess what? Even in some quarters, they do actually kiss. Like in France, for instance. Till date, France, the way they greet is by kissing. In fact, there's a kind of kissing called French kiss. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a way of exchanging. This was what they were doing in the local church in those days. After service like this, they will kiss. Not, it's lost. See, it's a holy kiss. It's a kiss that, you know, there is this, come, brother. Guys in the house, shout hallelujah. You know how you see your dude you see for so long? Like, buddy! Not like this. Don't mind me, I'm from Yoruba. You know now, that's the way. Thank you. That's the way they do. Somebody you've missed for so long, you know, you're like, oh my God! Praise the Lord. Let me read some scripture to you. Open to Romans. Okay. Let's look at Romans 16 quickly. Time is gone. So, while in their culture it was a kiss, what is the Western practice today? Handshake. Right? But it must be done affectionately. So, that's what we're going to do today. Don't fake it. From this message I've taught, I want to imbue in you. Yeah, I want to imbue into you. That inward solidarity, I want you to give it expression. Some of you, I understand your personality, you don't like to talk, but listen, it's not just about you. We're talking about Philadelphia here. Look at it. Romans 16 verse 16, it says, salute, this was Paul talking to the church in Rome, salute one another with what? With an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 20, all the brethren greet you one another with what? An holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 12,
greet one another with what? A holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Greet all the brethren. Can you see brethren? One another? Can you see brethren there? Philadelphia, from the same womb, Altephos. He says, greet all the brethren with what? A holy kiss. Apostle Peter even makes it very clear. In 1 Peter 5 verse 14, Apostle Peter says, greet you one another with a kiss of love. And guess what? This is the kind of, you know, when love grows so much among us, oh, do you know that it's possible? You know, I remember them who were there, you know, Brother Paul just coming, Pastor Elijah, so person is going through some hard things, and then we need to do something about it. Then we gather and pray. Pray. That's solidarity. That's brethren. That's brotherly love. You can sense somebody's going through stuff instead of gossiping about. You gather, you pray, you can even fast and even set time to pray for that person. You hold hands together. You are in church. Do you know we can walk so much in love that while we are here in the meeting, you hold hands with the person next to you and the sickness in that person's body will leave. Because power flows through the conduit of compassion. And compassion is an attribute of love. Love. Let love reign in our midst. They didn't call me. I was sick. Nobody called me. What about if you put a call through? Eh? Nothing should come between us. There shouldn't be fights. There are 1,001 things to do in this church. If you are body-minded, not personally selfish-minded, if you are body-minded, there's so much to do. So much to do. Let's walk in love towards one another. Romans 12 verse 10, it says, let us be what? Kindly affectioned. And I showed you last week that the word affection there is from the Greek word philostogos. It means fondness. I give you that even fondness is the kind of love you can show even over material things. You have that sweater that is old or that shoe that is old. You have new shoes, but you just can't throw away that old shoes. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. Your friends are saying, throw away this thing now, it's old. You have other new things too, but you just can't leave that one. There's an attachment of some kind. That's what he's saying. He says, let us be kindly affectioned, philostogos towards one another in Philadelphia, in brotherly love. That means you can be fond of someone in the church with all purity. Not that he's talking about sexual attraction. You're talking about pure love. Love from the heart. That's why I find it difficult sometimes to understand. Well, I know ladies, they can be emotional. For those of you that have been in this church, you know how I work with people, right? No attachment, no. You can walk in such love. Hebrews 13 that we read last week, verse 1, it says, let what? Philadelphia continue. Let brotherly love continue. So I want you to rise on your feet now. I want you to, you're gonna hold the person next to you, you know. You're just gonna do. We're going to kiss in context. Not what kiss now is in context now. Not mouth to mouth. Handshake. Because kissing was their own cultural way of expressing, you know, solidarity, inward solidarity towards one another in those days. But in our own time, what do? Handshake. Let it be from your heart. Let me tell you one thing. Whoa. Hold on, church. Something is about to happen here today. I'm telling you. See, look at me. Hold on. When you hold hands with that person, some of you, you'll be inspired to pray for them. Some of you, you'll be inspired to declare words over them. Some of you, the spirit of prophecy will rest on you and you'll give a word of prophecy concerning that person. Are we ready? I want to show you practically how this thing works and I want you to connect. You see, let your heart connect with this thing. Are you listening to me? What I'm planning to do is, I want to imbue into you, alright, the practicality of this message. Philadelphia. Because we are ending this message today, but the message itself in action should not end. After church, you should be able to say, let me take a snap with you. Ah, brother, how are you? Go. It's been long I saw you in church, but you were sitting the other side the other day. Oh, wow. It should be there. You meet in academics during lectures. You're not looking at yourself like zombie. I saw you in church last week. Oh, you attend Cornerstone? Yeah, I do. Oh, interesting. You didn't get yesterday's message? Oh, I got it. I mean, it should be there. Not. Haba. Let fondness, philostogos, be in Philadelphia. Be fond of one another. I want you to shake the person next to you. You know, just give them a warm smile. You know, brotherly love. Philadelphia, I'm giving you 2 minutes. Just ask them. So ask the person, how are you? Be sincere. How are you? How are you doing? Hope you are fine. How is everything? Share it in the flow. Share me, can I wet your hand? Like, how far? Share you day alright. What's up? Babe, how you day? Correct guy. Can you imagine? Nobody is coming to me. Ah! All of you, go on your knees. Somebody shout hallelujah! Were you blessed? Were you blessed? Give the Lord a shout! I love you all. God bless you.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.